Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 15. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." In this section of Luke's gospel, where our reading for today is found, from chapters 12 through 16, Luke records a number of parables, many of which are not found in any of the other three gospels. They're unique to Luke. There also are several themes that flow through them, some of which are familiar, but the overarching themes of these parables is Jesus warns of the dangers of misusing possessions or trusting in your own possessions. And also, they show the great mercy and grace of our Father. Starting in Luke 12, you hear of the rich fool who thought that he could, you know, because he had all of the barns full of grain, he could take life easy and eat, drink, and be merry, not knowing that the Lord would demand his life of him that very night. Later in the same chapter, Jesus tells us to store up treasure in heaven rather than treasures on earth, a common theme in many of Jesus' parables. He also says, then in chapter 13, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Again, something we hear from Jesus quite often in all the Gospels. But then you get these unique parables that are only found in Luke. In chapter 14, you have the great banquet, where the wealthy people are invited by the king to his great wedding feast, and they reject the invitation because they have better things to do. So he sends his servants out to invite the poor and the lame and every sinner off the street, and they were the ones who were invited. They were the ones who got to celebrate because they actually came. Following today's gospel lesson in Luke 16, we see the parable of the unrighteous steward who thought that his master, being a long time coming, decided to take the master's possessions and have a big party for himself and mistreat the servants that he was supposed to take care of and had authority over. And then you have, finally, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man feasted every day and didn't care one whit about Lazarus, who was out there at the gate in his agony. In the middle of all of this, we hear the story of the prodigal son. Now, this is a parable that is not just well known to us, but you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who has never heard the term the prodigal son. Even someone who has never set foot in a church knows the story of the prodigal son. The younger of these two sons demands his share of the family fortune and then goes off and squanders it in wild living. Now, according to Jewish law, what the younger son did was absolutely within his rights. He could demand his inheritance even before his father was dead. Now, the inheritance you would receive was a much lesser percentage than you would have been entitled to at the death of your father, but you could have it right now. Now, in asking for this inheritance, the son is telling the father more than, "Hey, you know, I could really use a little cash right now." Basically, what he's saying is, "I wish you were dead, and I no longer wish to be your son." So the younger son takes his lesser inheritance and he goes off and wastes it. lives this, you know, wild, carefree life until the money runs out. Now, this isn't just the story of some foolish Hebrew boy. This is the story of Adam's children. This is our story. Our sinful nature says, take the money and run. We don't need our father as long as we have a little bit of money in our pockets. Adam rejected the father in the Garden of Eden. He sought the lesser inheritance. Our sinful nature, it's the result of Adam rebelling, renouncing the father-son relationship. He was no longer content with being the son. He wanted to be like God. Our sinful nature, deep down inside, wishes that God were dead, because then there would be no consequences. We wouldn't have to worry about the law of God. We could do whatever we wanted. Oh, and within our, you know, the popular culture today, that's the ultimate lifestyle. Do whatever you want. Don't worry about tomorrow. But tomorrow always comes. Unless, of course, like in the parable, the Lord demands your life of you this day. The lesser inheritance cannot last. It will always run out because God is not dead. The Father lives. The good news is that no matter how poorly we have mistreated him in the past, just like the father in the parable, our Father loves us very much and has sought after us, watched for us, and welcomed us. After the younger son had rejected his relationship as a son, after he had wasted a good part of his life on this lesser inheritance, debased himself in every way, he knew that his one and only hope was his father's goodness and mercy. The younger son was confident that he could go back to his father, and his father would not be vindictive, would not be spiteful. He knew that by nature his father would not hold a grudge, that by nature his father is merciful and kind. So he goes home. Now, the son, of course, thought, well, the most I could ask for is to be one of, you know, the hired servants. At least that way I won't starve to death. Reality had set in. Without his father providing for him, he was going to die. And he knew that he had sinned. He looks at his plight, working with unclean animals, longing to eat the pig slop. That's how low he had gotten. That's what the law does to us. It crushes us, brings us to the pit of despair, and then rises up with the gospel, brings us new life. This is our story. And the younger son, he says, I am no longer worthy. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And he was right. He had rejected the ways of his father. He had rejected their relationship. He wanted to be his own authority, and he wished his father were dead so that I can go and do what I want. This is what happened at the Garden of Eden. This is still what our sinful nature wants. When I look deep into my heart, I know that I want to be my own boss. I want to do what I want, and I want the people around me to do what I want. As I said last week, none of us deserve to be called the children of God. And yet we are. in the parable, the father runs out to his son. Wealthy noblemen don't run. He humiliates himself to show the compassion and the longing that he had for this lost prodigal son. And he throws his arms around him and kissed him. And then he has a celebration in his honor. And he calls him my son. This is our story. While you were still off in a distance, he lowered himself by sending Christ into this world, humiliated himself so that he could bring you home. You who were once dead are now alive. And you, once again, are called the true child of the Father. Ironically, our rebirth and renewal, it's a direct result of our sinful nature's deepest, darkest desire coming true. God died. And because of that death, we don't need to fear anymore. Because he does not look upon our sin. Because Christ stood between us and the wrath of the law of God. Like the prodigal son, we have not deserved to be treated this way. Even though we have wasted parts of our lives chasing after a lesser inheritance, have sinned in every way against our Father in heaven, we know that we can trust in his goodness and mercy. We can trust that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as Scripture says again and again. That he is not vindictive and spiteful. That he does not hold grudges. But rather he emulates love, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. When you speak about what is love, you have to speak about who God is. We know that our Father is merciful and kind, and we are truly blessed to have been called away from the lesser inheritance that the world offers, which is really no inheritance at all, because it will not last. And we have been welcomed home, and we will dwell in our Father's house forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.